from South Los Angeles to Washington, D.C., and many points in between. This is Political Talk on AnnenbergRadio.org and NeonTommy.com. I'm Max Schwartz, along with Katie Gregg and Jenna DeKnight. Political Talk is a weekly podcast that focuses on local, national, and state political news, and some news in general from the United States and beyond. In the last 3 minutes, we will have a segment called 1 Minute Spotlight. I will explain what that is later on in the show. Political Talk will be available on AnnenbergRadio.org and NeonTommy.com. Without further ado, let's get started. On this week's broadcast, Jenna DeKnight will be giving the wrap-up. Congress's plan to force itself to take action on the country's borrowing and debt problems have backfired. Instead, Congress has not taken any action on mandatory budget cuts known as the sequester, which will take effect March 1st unless the House and Senate take action. Sequestration was built into the deal that allowed the United States to get through the last debt ceiling crisis. These budget cuts will affect all federal departments. Budget reductions forced on departments by Congress would stretch from the Navy's capabilities in the Persian Gulf to Yosemite National Park, because the way to cut costs is to reduce operations and to reduce the amount of time people are on the clock. One of the most talked about is the Department of Defense. According to the Washington Post, 800,000 civilian employees were told last Wednesday they will need to take time off without pay. A federal government employee in the Department of Defense who wishes to remain anonymous told Political Talk, "Being furloughed would be unfortunate, but the mission of our offices comes first. It's a frequent topic of discussion, and people are planning for it accordingly." The cuts would immediately cut nearly $100 billion. The sequestration cheat sheet released by the D.C. law firm Brustein and Manasevit puts the total amount of debt Congress wants to reduce as $984 billion. The impact of these cuts goes beyond the better-known cabinet departments such as the Department of Defense or the Department of State. The cuts also reach the National Park Service, which says parks may become less accessible. They reach the Social Security Administration, which means it will take longer to process claims, and it may take longer to mail checks out to recipients. They reach the Department of Homeland Security, which means it will take longer to go through airport security and customs and immigration. And they reach the Department of Transportation, and a majority of the DOT's cuts will be in the FAA. Aid to states for Superstorm Sandy recovery efforts will also be cut if Congress does not strike a bipartisan deal. Many Americans don't understand why departments with such large budgets that go into the billions can't easily cope with a cut of 5-7%. This is happening because congressional Republicans want spending cuts, while congressional Democrats want a combination of spending cuts and tax increases. One way they want to raise revenue is by closing tax loopholes on large companies such as Facebook. On Thursday, White House Communications Director Jennifer Palmieri posted a blog post on the White House blog. In the post, she said the president and congressional Democrats have put forward solutions to avoid these cuts and allow time for both sides to work on a long-term balanced solution to our deficit challenges. She continued, "The president has already reduced the deficit by over $2.5 trillion, cutting spending by over $1.4 trillion, bringing domestic discretionary spending to its lowest level as a share of the economy since the Eisenhower era." And earlier today, there was a conference call by Jason Furman, Principal Deputy Director of the National Economic Council, and Amy Brundage, Deputy Press Secretary for the Economy. The two also discussed what would happen on the federal level in general. And I would like to go back to the Superstorm Sandy cuts for a moment. The $3 billion in reductions across different programs will take effect, and these were going to be paid out in the near future. These will not happen if the sequester goes into effect. Jason Furman said there will be $85 billion in cuts over the next 7 months. The maintenance of 11 ships at NAFIC could be canceled. Amy added that these were not supposed to be policy. In fact, they were supposed to be a mechanism of action, and those are her words. Now, here's Katie on guns and politics.
The issue of gun control has been a hot topic in politics since the tragic mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. After 20-year-old Adam Lanza shot and killed 20 children and 6 adults on December 14th, both Democrat and Republican legislators have addressed the subject. Gun control has also been a frequent topic in the media. On one episode of the CNN program, Piers Morgan Tonight, Morgan interviewed Robert Zimmerman Jr., brother of George Zimmerman, the man who shot Trayvon Martin on February 26. Zimmerman said, quote, "Very restrictive gun laws, they don't matter in the hands of a madman." Zimmerman also brought up the correlation between mental health issues and gun violence. This point is especially relevant because it is now known that Connecticut shooter Adam Lanza had been diagnosed with a disorder that made it hard for him to deal with sights, touch, and smell, as well as Asperger's syndrome. The big question in Washington and elsewhere is, shouldn't people like Lanza be restricted by the government from getting firearms? Most people and politicians believe yes, there should be restrictions on who can own guns. Barring the opinion of representatives on the far left and far right, most politicians call for the implementation of background checks on potential gun buyers. A survey conducted by Republican pollster Frank Luntz in May 2012 found 89% of Republicans, 74% of NRA members, and 92% of Americans support universal background checks for gun sales. In a fireside hangout, Vice President Joe Biden said, quote, 98% of American people believe that there should be tighter controls on who can own a gun. Although this statistic is likely an augmented figure, a New York Times CBS poll suggests that 92% of American people would favor a federal law requiring background checks on all potential gun buyers. Although the majority of Americans agree on this, there is much dispute concerning whether American citizens should have access to assault weapons. Christopher Dorner, the former LAPD cop accused of murder, said in his manifesto, quote, "In the end, I hope that you will realize that the small arms I utilize should not be accessed with the ease that I obtained them." The Dorner case also brought to light another issue. Former police officers are allowed to own any gun they want, which is how he obtained the arsenal he did. Vice President Joe Biden, like Dorner, supports similar gun restriction. In a conference held just 12 miles away from Sandy Hook Elementary, Biden said the opponents of gun restrictions say assault weapons like the AR-15 are needed for self-protection or recreation. They are not. There are plenty of ways you can protect yourself or recreate without one. Biden contends these proposed restrictions would not infringe upon the people's Second Amendment rights. Republican Iowa Senator Charles Grassley disagrees, pointing out that the 1994 assault weapon ban did not stop Columbine. As of now, no new laws have been passed regarding gun control, but President Obama and Vice President Biden are working to pass restrictions that would increase oversight of gun sales, primarily through the much-supported method of required background checks. More sure to come on this debate.
Two of the biggest issues facing Congress are the sequester and guns. Congress has done nothing to avert the budget crisis, which would hurt a recovering economy and which, in all likelihood, will result in furloughs, if not job losses. Congress has an obligation to take care of this matter, but has not acted yet. The president has proposed his own plan, but members of Congress are not on board because it calls for closing tax loopholes. Republicans only want to reduce spending, while Democrats seek to address both spending cuts and additional revenue generation. In addition to the upcoming sequester, there will be another debt ceiling issue, which is likely to cause even more bickering along party lines. Only time will tell what this means for the country's future and credit rating. Guns are the second large issue at hand. The president is trying to push proposals that Vice President came up with while meeting with the various groups that would be affected by any legislation. Gun control was the point in Obama's State of the Union address, in which he found his loudest voice. Vice President Biden has been on the road trying to push for change. The president is urging people to contact their congressperson and push for change. Organizing for Action, which came from Obama for America, is also calling on people to show their support for additional gun control legislation.
This is the point in the show when we have 3 minutes left, and it is our one-minute spotlight segment. During this segment, each of us will discuss an issue that we feel is important that we did not talk about during the show, or one that is not being covered enough nationally in our own opinions. I will go first, and I am talking today about assemblymen running for the Los Angeles City Council. There are two sitting assemblymen running for Los Angeles City Council. One is Assemblyman Bob Blumenfeld, who was just re-elected in November. He is running for City Council District 3. The other sitting assemblyman running for City Council is Mike Davis, who is running in District 9, which is the district that encompasses USC. If either one or both of these men win their elections, the county will have to put on a special election to fill their vacant assembly seats. Political Talk put a call into Los Angeles County to find out how much it will cost to put on these special elections if they are elected, but our call was not returned. We were sent to the county by the state's Secretary of State's office, who told us that the county in which the assembly seat is located is responsible for the special elections. Now here's Katie to discuss a 3D pen.
A Boston-based startup toy and robotics company, Wobbleworks, has created a 3D printing pen called the 3Doodler. The 3Doodler debuted last Tuesday and has gained much publicity since then. Backers have already pledged over $1 million in investments. The device plugs into an outlet and, similar to a glue gun, the pen oozes heated plastic while the consumer uses the pen to draw. The plastic cools and solidifies, thus allowing users to build 3D drawings, patterns, and shapes. The plastic used in the pen is ABS plastic, a non-toxic substance. The device is expected to retail for $75 when it hits the markets.
Thank you for listening to the first episode of Political Talk. We would like to thank Joel Zink, our engineer, Willis Seidenberg, the Annenberg Radio News faculty advisor, and Aaron Schrenk, the Annenberg Radio News executive producer, for all of their help. The music used on today's program has been composed, recorded, and provided by Eric Schwartz. He is on the web at www.ericschwartz.com. From the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism at the University of Southern California, on behalf of Katie Gregg and Jenna DeKnight, I'm Max Schwartz saying have a great week, and we hope to see you back next week. In the meantime, we can be reached at politicaltalkpodcast@gmail.com and on Twitter by using the hashtag Political Talk. Thank you very much and have a great week.